Good morning and welcome to our worship service here at the Meyerstown Church of the Brethren. Before we get started, a few announcements that I would like to bring to your attention. We are still planning to have a candle lighting memorial service on January 3rd. So if you have a family member, et cetera, that you'd like to make sure is honored that day, would you please get the information to Joanne? And of course, last week, we had an extra song when we sang Happy Birthday to Mary Jane, and she would like to thank everybody for that outpouring of cards and the beautiful singing that we had. I put beautiful in quotation marks, but we did sing. Let's see. Oh, and Christian sympathy to Dale and Joanne Houts on the passing of Dale's sister, Sandy. Does anyone else have a piece of information, an announcement that they would like to give to us today? Okay, we'll continue with the prelude by Barb. Thank you, Barb, for that beautiful music. As we move through Advent, we are now at the second Sunday, and Jay and Brenda Lance will be reading the Advent reading and lighting the second candle for us.
Good morning. Our lists are long, even in this strange mess where we live these days, and we want to do it right. We want to be safe, but we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got to work to do, to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend the relationships, and to prepare for the one who will come. So we light this candle as a sign of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us, and that we can clear the way for that God to come and dwell with us.
Stand for the singing of O Little Town of Bethlehem and remain standing for the prayer. Bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord and Father, thank you that you promise us that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the midst. Lord, we welcome you among us today and celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each of us. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all of this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. The next hymn we'll sing is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the chorus only, please.
Thank you.
be seated. The scripture I'll be reading, Isaiah 9, 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the training warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son is given. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom, he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The music ministry today will be presented via video by our bell choir. Thank you, Barb, and the bell choir. Unfortunately, as we all know, circumstances don't allow them to be practicing or performing for us right now, but thank goodness we have some videos in our library that we can pull up. At this time, I'd like to ask the children to come forward for the children's story, which will be presented by Pastor Stauffer.
Hi. I'm glad to have you here today. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world. What that means is that God brought Jesus to earth, sent Jesus to earth, so that we can believe in him as the Savior who died for our sins. So whenever we do things that are wrong, Jesus is willing to forgive us. That's why he died. And Jesus is our Lord. When we believe that Jesus is the light of the world, we accept him as Lord and we follow him. He's like the king or the boss or the leader. And when he tells us to do things and when he shows us which way to go, that's the way we go. So when we accept Jesus as the light of the world, we will follow in his light. We will go where he tells us to go and we will accept him as God's full expression of love for us. Now, when we believe in Jesus as our Lord, it's like a light goes on inside us. So, this lantern's the same before and after the switch is on, but when we accept Jesus, a light goes on inside us. And Jesus said to his disciples, to people who believed that he was the light of the world, who accepted him as Savior, who followed him as Lord, he said to them, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that others can see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven." So when we believe in Jesus, we let this light shine, the light of Jesus in us. We let that shine so others can see it. But sometimes we hide our light. And Jesus says, no, don't hide your light. Don't cover it up. You know, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. And he also said, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel basket, but you put it on a lampstand so that everyone in the house can see. So I want you to understand that Jesus is the light of the world, to accept him as your Savior, to follow him as your Lord, and let your light shine. Don't let anything cover up that light so that other people can see that Jesus is indeed the light of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful that you sent Jesus to be the light of the world. And we're thankful that that light has touched our lives. And we pray that you would enlighten these children. Let your light burn brightly in them so that through them, many people will see you at work and give glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming front.
The children know the routine. They're heading out to Children's Church. Could we bow our heads for a time of prayer, please? Lord, in a season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, burdens that steal the joy right out of our stockings. Tragedy arrives as innocent victims suffer, and an inner voice whispers, "Be afraid." We need your peace, Jesus. We confess that our hearts are too often filled with wonder of a different kind, wondering when the bills will be paid, when the terror will stop, when rest will come. Will it ever? Is the message still true? In a world where worry, not peace, prevails, stir up that good news again. This Advent, make it real in our hearts. Never have we needed your joy and peace more than now. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, our Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. We not only need your peace and joy, Lord, we crave it. You've promised the rest of the weary, victory for the battle scarred, peace for the anxious, and acceptance for the brokenhearted. Not just at Advent, but every day of every year. Your name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know that peace on earth can only come when hearts find peace with you. You are still our joy. You are still our peace. You are no longer a babe in a manger. You are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we celebrate you as Lord this Christmas and always. Amen. I'll be reading the scripture, John 1 to 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. At this time, we'll hear the message presented by Pastor David, Reflecting the Light.
It's a privilege and a joy for me to be here with you today. This is the first time I've been here for Sunday morning worship service. I have been here as your moderator. I've been serving as moderator of Myerstown Church, and some of you I have met at council meetings. I want to express my appreciation for the gift of a pumpkin roll that Beth and I enjoyed. My wife Beth is over there. Beth and I enjoyed eating that pumpkin roll. It was a gift that we received at the last council meeting, and it did not last very long. Even though there's only two of us in our household, that pumpkin roll was gone pretty quickly. So thank you for everybody that's involved in that valuable ministry. I want to prepare for this sermon by reading a prayer from the back of the hymnal. So let us pray together. O God, author of eternal light, lead us in our worshiping this day, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In September, I had a first-time experience with a powerful telescope. Now, I had seen binoculars and I'd seen telescopes other places, but we had an amateur astronomer from our church at East Fairview who set up this big telescope in the parking lot at a church event. And he aimed that telescope at exactly the right spot and invited me to take a look. So I looked through that telescope and I was able to see not only the planet Jupiter, but also one of the moons of Jupiter. Now, I don't know which moon it was, but I was astounded, and I looked up how far away is Jupiter from the Earth. And I'm taking this from other people. I didn't know this. Because both the Earth and Jupiter travel in an elliptical path around the Sun, Jupiter's distance from Earth is constantly changing, ranging from 365 million miles to 601 million miles. I have no idea how far away Jupiter was from me when I looked at it on that date in September, but the range was it was either 365 million miles away or 601 million miles away. Now, what's fascinating is when I saw that bright planet and the bright moon, I was not looking at a source of light. I was looking at a reflection of light from the sun. Now, the distance from the sun to Jupiter averages about 484 million miles. So from the sun, it went 484 million miles to Jupiter, and then it came back to Earth between 300 and 600 million miles. It is astounding to think that we on Earth can see the light from the sun reflected off a planet and its moon hundreds of millions of miles away. In this challenging year of 2020, with the COVID-19 pandemic, a bitter election season, a record number of tropical storms, Our world needs the light of Christ to shine in the darkness. And God is appointing us to be his witnesses. God has placed us in a position to reflect the light of Christ in such a way that others can see it, even people far away whom we will never see and never know. As Dave read in the scripture for today, John 1:9, John writes, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Christians proclaim that Jesus is that true light. Jesus himself described himself as light. In John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness." As the true light, Jesus guides us in the way we should go. Long before GPS, voyagers were able to set the direction of their travels by looking at the sun during the day and looking at stars at night. There are some verses in the book of Acts that point out how terrifying it was when sailors and their passengers could not see the sun and the stars. They could not determine where they were or where they were heading. From Acts 27, "We were being pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest raged, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." Can you imagine going that long without seeing the sun or the stars out in the middle of a storm, not knowing where you were going? In a similar way, it's terrifying when people cannot see the light of Christ. Some people are paralyzed by fear when they are lost in that darkness. Some people are willing to follow any kind of distracting light that leads them into dangerous situations. But all people need to see the light of Christ in order to follow the right path. As the true light, Jesus reveals who we are and what is around us. When I lived in Waka, Texas, in the Panhandle, 100 miles north of Amarillo, I was amazed with how flat the land was. At night, I could look to the northeast and see the street lights of Perryton 16 miles away. And without moving my feet, I could look to the southwest to Spearman and see the street lights of Spearman 10 miles away. As a Pennsylvania boy, that was fascinating. How could there not be trees or buildings or hills or anything in the way of the streetlights from so far away? Now, the purpose of those streetlights in Perryton and Spearman was not to amaze and entertain somebody standing in Waka. The purpose was to reveal hazards or obstacles in order to reduce the risk of injury or to protect the property for those who were close to that light. In a similar way, the purpose of Jesus coming into the world is not to amaze or entertain, but to reveal hazards and obstacles in order to reduce the risk of sin and to protect the lives and souls of all people. John 3:19 to 21 says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." As the Gospel of John opens, we learn that John the Baptist was a faithful witness to the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light. He came to testify to the light. Witnesses have an important responsibility to tell the truth about what they have seen and heard and learned so that others may know the truth. Witnesses like John the Baptist want people to understand the truth about Jesus and to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. One day some people came to John and said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." From John chapter 3, we learn that there was a discussion about purification between John's disciples and a Jew. And they came to John the Baptist and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses when I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him.' He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Notice how John pointed away from himself to Jesus. When people gave their attention to John, he said, no, give your attention to Jesus. John was not the light. He simply reflected the light of Christ. Now, John, the author of the Gospel of John and the Revelation to John, was another faithful witness to the light of Jesus. From John chapter 20, John writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." John, the author of the Gospel of John, was pointing people to Jesus, the source of light and the source of life. In 1 John chapter 1, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." Notice that witnesses simply tell others what they have seen and heard and experienced. Christian witnesses talk about Jesus. Christian witnesses reflect the light of Christ. And now we get to us. You see, God has called us to be witnesses to the light of Christ. I'm going to offer 5 suggestions of ways in which we can be faithful witnesses to the light of Christ. The first is to focus on Jesus. To be faithful witnesses, we focus our attention on Jesus. We think about and talk about who he is, what he said, how he lived, why he died, how he rose, and how to get ready for his return. We focus our attention on Jesus. There's a story in the Gospel of Matthew about a storm on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were in a boat. And in the middle of that storm, Jesus approached them walking on the water. At first, they thought that Jesus was a ghost. When Jesus identified himself, Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking in the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. When I was a kid, I watched cartoons. I don't know if you watch cartoons at all, but I think it was Wile E. Coyote was the one who would always run out a cliff, and he could keep running as long as he didn't look down. And as soon as he looked down, then he would fall. And I don't know how many times that happened. I don't know whatever happened to Wile E. Coyote. But anyway, he would be back the next episode. But for us, it is essential that we keep our attention on Jesus. When we're focused on him, we can do things we never dreamed possible. But when we get worried about what's going on around us and take our eyes off of Jesus, then we get into big trouble. That's why the song that we sang earlier is so important. Helen Nemel wrote, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The second thing we can do is live in the light. To be faithful witnesses, we abide in the presence and the light of Jesus. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, sometimes we try to find out what the rules are and try to do the minimum. And what Paul's saying, as children who live in the light of the Lord, we try to do what is pleasing to the Lord. It's a much higher standard of living. To the Philippians, Paul wrote, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Adeline Beery wrote a hymn, lo, a gleam from yonder heaven breaks upon our starless night, like a kindly hand it beckons, walk in me, I am the light. Jesus, light serene, eternal, glorious sun of righteousness, morning star of all the ages, with thy beams our spirits bless. A third thing that we can do is trust and obey. To be faithful witnesses, we need to believe in Jesus and follow him. One thing, not two. Believe and follow, join together. Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. James wrote about the connection between right beliefs and right actions. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith, by itself, if it has no works, is dead. John Samus wrote a familiar hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The fourth thing is to let your light shine. To be faithful witnesses, we reveal the light of Christ. Jesus, the light of the world, tells everyone who follows him, all his disciples, all believers, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. After the resurrection, on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples had a question for Jesus. They said to him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world." We, as followers of Jesus, are given the responsibility to shine like stars in the darkest night. E.G. Coleman wrote to him, "Christian, let your burning light shine on all with luster bright. Let your words and deeds be pure. All for Christ you must endure. Christian, let your light shine all along your way. You may guide a wanderer to eternal day. You may save from endless night if you let your lamp burn bright." And finally, number 5, love one another. To be faithful witnesses, we love others. Family, friends, neighbors, strangers, and even enemies. When we refuse to love and allow sinful behavior to corrupt our lives, we hide the light of Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, John wrote, "Whoever says, 'I am in the light,' while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness." No matter how much we disagree with others, and no matter how many times people hurt us, we cannot stop loving them, or we fail to be faithful witnesses to the light of Christ. Nicholas von Zinzendorf wrote a hymn expressing his hope that the church would always express Christ-like love. "Heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will, let his love in us ignited more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are his members, we reflect the light he is. He the master, we disciples, he is ours and we are his. May we also love each other and all selfish claims deny, so that each one for the other will not hesitate to die. Even so, our Lord has loved us, and for our lives he gave his life. Still he grieves, and still he suffers for our selfishness and strife. Since, O Lord, you have demanded that our lives your love should show, so we wait to be commanded forth into the world to go. Kindle in us love's compassion, so that everyone may see in our fellowship the promise of a new humanity." The prayer I prayed at the beginning of the sermon and the hymns I quoted were written decades and centuries ago. They are reminders that we are not the first generation of Christians to experience disease, political unrest, natural disasters, and violence. In the midst of hard times and dark ages, Christians continue to reflect the light of Christ by being faithful witnesses. So I invite us to pray that prayer again with a slight variation, replacing worshiping with witnessing. Let us pray. O God, author of eternal light, lead us in our witnessing each day, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And at this time, we'll sing When We Walk with the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.